All right, let's go ahead and pray. Father, I want to ask now that as we open up this subject of modesty again, I pray that you would help me to understand what I say. Help me not to say anything wrong, and help me to correctly portray everything so that the people understand the reasons and the why of everything. I do pray that you would bless your word tonight and help us to understand your will. Amen. I don't know that we're going to finish the subject tonight. I don't think that we are. I think we'll probably go one more week on this, that we will maybe catch some things that so far have fallen by the wayside. We'll see how it goes. To go back and quickly do a 2-minute review, we do have the command in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 9, that women are supposed to wear clothes, modest clothes, the English reads. What is contained in the word modest, again, is not, is maybe only a small portion of what we talk about when we refer to a woman wearing modest clothes. It is certainly contained, the idea, the seed of the idea is certainly contained in the word, which could be translated, if you would, orderly. It is contained in that idea, but it is not exactly the same idea that we speak of when we are talking about modest clothes. We are speaking of a very, very specific aspect of a girl's clothes, which is how they relate to other human beings, specifically guys. We do have plenty of stuff in the scriptures, all the way through the scriptures, that teach us of the proper relationship between guys and girls. And obviously, fornication and adultery and even looking on a girl and thinking thoughts like that are absolutely sin, and anything that is connected with conceiving those thoughts in the mind of a man is automatically fails any standard of modesty that could exist. Whether or not the scripture were ever to have told a girl to wear modest clothes or not is kind of irrelevant, because it gives us all sorts of information on our relationship, guys with girls, and girls with guys. So, we're not basing much of what we're doing on this verse in 1 Timothy 2:9. It is a simple verse that does prescribe clothes for girls. We looked at the fact that girls are the most beautiful thing that God ever made. The Bible doesn't say that, but I think most men would agree with that idea. They are extremely, extremely beautiful and attractive, and it is not just the one that you like the most, but it is girls in general. And if you get married to the prettiest one on the face of the earth, and I hope you do, outside of Nikki, of course, you will continue to believe that thousands and millions of other girls on the face of the earth, besides the most beautiful that you married, are very beautiful and attractive. Okay, you will continue to believe that, and those girls will attract you to think wrong thoughts, even if you have a very happy marriage. They will get you to think evil thoughts if they present themselves to you in a manner that is improper. Okay? We also looked at the fact that guys, by command of God, moral command of God, absolutely have to control their minds about things like this, that they are not allowed to want or think about girls that do not pertain to them. Okay? And we found out in Romans chapter 7 and 8 that this is possible to attain through the work of Christ, through the work of the Spirit of God, through the work of the Word of God, the influence of God in the life of a born-again person gives you victory over things that are what we would call in this situation the flesh. Okay, we do not have to live by the order of the flesh. Our flesh naturally responds to any pretty girl that we see, especially if she's not fully dressed. If a girl is not fully dressed, girls, this is something that you probably do not fully understand, though you may have been told it before. A girl that is not dressed properly sends a message to a guy. The guys read that, even though the girl may have not meant it at all. She may have been the most ignorant person on the face of the earth about the message she was sending when she put those clothes on. And the guys still read that message of a message of availability. It is a message of touch me. I want you to love me. It's not necessarily a very explicit message that says, you know, do something wicked with me, okay? But it absolutely gives the message of some sort of loose availability. Okay, it does. Whether girls know that or not, and hundreds and thousands of them dress in clothes that are improper all the time, not having a clue that that is actually the message they are giving to the awful guys that walk past them who they can't stand. You know, these people we call creeps. Now, girls can't stand creeps, but they normally dress to attract them in the United States of America. I don't know why they are so retarded. Okay, I didn't say that. A guy's relationship to a girl must be spirit-based. It must be through the brain, through the head, through the eyes. It cannot be body-based. It's absolutely wrong for a guy's relationship to any girl other than his own personal wife to be body-based. You can't look at it. You can't want it. You can't have it. You can't touch it. It's wrong. Speaking in an improper sense. I mean, there is such a thing as touching a girl's body that is not wrong. It's okay to shake her hand or something. It is also okay to see her hand, all right? Okay, don't take that too far now. But relating towards a girl, flesh to flesh, attraction, the thing that attracts girls and boys towards each other on a purely fleshly level is absolutely and always wrong for a guy to relate to a girl that way. Now, if we believe that, it is equally wrong, every bit as equally wrong, for a girl to offer that to a guy through suggestion. Okay? If a guy cannot relate to a girl's body that way, then a girl cannot suggest to him that he does by the way she dresses. That is equally wrong. Just as it is fornication, according to the words of Jesus Christ, if a man looks on a woman to lust after her, he has committed adultery with her in his heart. And if a girl dresses in such a way as to prompt a man to look and lust at her, she has committed adultery with him in her heart. They are equally wrong. They are exactly the same thing. Okay, we cannot for one moment condemn a man for looking at a girl and not condemn a girl for trying to get the man to look. So, this doesn't prove anything as to how we should dress. We'll look at some of this stuff before we finish tonight. But right now, we're just condemning the actual practice. I think you guys would probably agree with that. I said I was doing a 2-minute review, but however, I'm adding some things to this review, so it's more than 2 minutes. Now, in Genesis, in the beginning of Genesis, we found that God prescribed clothes for people. And we found that the clothes that God prescribed for Adam and Eve were not related to modesty, but rather they were related to sin. They were related to embarrassment and shame of being naked after Adam and Eve had sinned. At that point, God put clothes on Adam and Eve. He did so in a sense of atonement, where he killed an animal, took the skins of the animal, and clothed Adam and Eve with the skins. Since that day, God has never rescinded his wishes for human beings to wear clothes. Okay? So, at that point, we asked a very relative and realistic question. What kind of clothes? How many clothes? What types? In what way? And that is where we are tonight. That is the subject we are going to discuss. Many Christian girls would like to be sexually appealing to guys and modest at the same time. Now let me tell you something right now. The two of those things are exact opposites. They cannot coexist together in the same person without the battle of Romans chapter 7 ensuing, which is the battle between the flesh and the spirit. One of them is of the flesh, the other is of the spirit. Dressing modestly is of the spirit. Dressing to be sexually attractive to guys is of the flesh. If you are trying to accomplish both of those ends, you are going to live in absolute turmoil on the subject all your life, and I pray that you will make it to heaven, okay? You cannot, absolutely cannot, mix the two of those things peacefully. They do not mix. So, I'm going to start with an article that was published in World Magazine, June 2003. Bathing suits or birthday suits? Teenage girls try to explain why they wear what they wear at the beach. This article is written by Joe Maxwell, and I'll read most of it. Books with titles like Whatever Happened to Sin deal with cosmic issues. With summer approaching and many of us about to spend time on beaches or at swimming pools, here's a more modest question. Whatever happened to modesty? Or to be precise, why are many women willing to be seen at the beach or swimming pool in less clothing than their normal underwear? Megan Ellison, 16, is trying on bikinis at Elvin's Island Beach Store on the Gulf Coast Beach Strip at Orange Beach, Alabama. Her grandmother, Betty Ellison, is trying to exercise patience as she waits outside the dressing room door. I guess I'm just a little old-fashioned, she complains to the air as she watches Megan enter the dressing room to try on a few scraps of cloth that pass for swimwear these days. As Megan, who attends a Christian high school, changes into yet another bikini in the store's gender-neutral changing rooms, Betty processes her frustration to world. I think that what they wear today is indecent, she said. Perhaps it's just my age, but I think they show too much of themselves. Two other women, Megan's aunt and cousin, giggle at Betty's candor. They call them bathing suits, she adds, but it's less than what they wear for underwear. Indeed, when Megan emerges, her dress resembles a bikini version of Eden's fig leaves, except that unlike the Renaissance paintings of Eve wincing in shame at her scant leafy covering, Megan seems eager to discern whether her relatives believe this is the right bikini, three patches of cloth held together by strings that most flatters her. Why do you want to wear something like this in public, World asked. Go on, Betty goads, eager to hear her granddaughter's rationale. Answer him. I get a better tan line, Megan replies, her voice rising as if she's asking a question rather than answering one. Then she says, you want to look nice for the opposite sex. It's kind of a competitive thing. That competition was also evident on the beach, where following careful and wise instructions by World editors, my wife accompanied me as I approached three young ladies adorned much as Megan was. After explaining to the young ladies who we were and that we were doing a story on beachwear, the three ladies seemed very excited to be included. They gave their names and ages, 13, 14, and 14, and forthrightly address the question, why are you willing to wear scantier clothes in public at the beach or pool than your daily underwear? Because I don't feel like anyone would bother you here, I guess, one replies, an answer that prompts the question, would somebody bother you if you wore your bikinis to school? The three teen girls laugh at the thought. We'd be suspended. To a follow-up question, what do you think boys are thinking when they look at you in your bikinis? One of the threesome replies with reluctant candor, they're probably trying to figure out what we look like underneath. Shortly after this interview, the parents of one of the girls approach my wife and accuse us of being perverts for asking the children such questions. This, of course, raises another question. If the World Reporter and his godly wife are perverts for asking obvious questions, what does this make these parents? Consenting exhibitionists? By heading down the beach, we encountered a youth group from Peace Reformed Church in Middleville, Michigan. Youth Minister Nate Archer and a staff of several men and women brought 36 teens to the beach for a mix of fun in the sun and daily meetings for worship and teaching. Mr. Archer said he doesn't want to have the young ladies or young men clothed on the beach in a fashion that compromises the very goal of the trip, pointing the youth toward God rather than toward their own lusts. It would be great just to tell them to wear big giant snowmobile suits like people used to wear at the beach in the 1920s, Mr. Archer laughed. Yet pretty much anything less than that is going to cause someone to stumble. The challenge is, how do we incorporate the world standards into our expectations for accomplishing real discipleship? Stay off the beach, by the way. Later, the youth group discusses the issue. 11 of the 13 girls on the trip say they wear bikinis on the beach or at the pool, and 5 in a secret poll said they picked their swimwear in hopes of looking sexy for the guys on the trip. In a separate survey of 25 female college students done for World by Christian psychologist Scott White of Belhaven College in Jackson, Mississippi, peer pressure and desire to look pleasing to the opposite sex surfaced as tremendous motivators in determining what young ladies choose to wear. 2/3 of those polled said getting guys to notice them was a large motivator in how they dress, and the same percentage says they dress to personally feel sensual or sexy regardless of others' reactions. I'll stop there. I was talking to a guy a few years ago that was fussing about our church's standard on modesty and saying it was baloney, basically. And I asked him, well, what is the standard of modesty? How should we dress? And he said, just like the world. That was his answer. He said, basically what his opinion was is the world is holding to what they believe to be decent. And they are right. Okay, so this is what the article we just read is the basic way evangelical Christianity today is living. Okay, now I understand that there are still some conservative churches out there who believe things like that are wrong. But the average American Christian today in the evangelical churches of the United States today are not opposed to wearing those few scraps of clothes in public if it's at the beach. Okay. We have somehow made some barrier between what's modest on the beach and what's modest elsewhere. I don't know where we came up with that, but we did. So the bulk of your typical run-of-the-mill churches have decided that the world's opinion on what modest is actually correct. And such clothes are proper and decent. Now, the fact of the matter is, without even trying to prove it, the things that we have looked at so far make that kind of clothes immorally wicked. Okay? Not just not modest. They are immorally wicked. And any girl who is dressing like that is shaking her fist in the face of God, in the face of His word, His laws, and decency to do what she wants to do. Okay? I am not going to tell you right now that there are not many girls who dress that way in a fair amount of ignorance. Okay, there are probably many actual Christians who are willing to wear clothes like that. They are wrong. Their heart is wrong. They are living by the flesh instead of the spirit. But at the end of the day, they are deceived. They have been taught that that is okay. They have accepted the teaching. And they are a product of the church that they are in. Now, I am not here to condemn those girls tonight as far as their motives or salvation. But I am absolutely 100% here to absolutely condemn the way they dress as sin. It is wrong. It has always been wrong. It's always going to be wrong. Now we can move over, and this was the question that I asked before, somewhere from swimsuits to the Amish. We've got all this degree of clothes. Where do we find the path? How do we decide what is right and what is wrong? And we can take and say that is wrong, but that does not mean that we have to dress like the Amish to be right. Okay, there is levels as we step up from being virtually naked to something that's a little more clothed, to a little more clothed, to a place where we would call, we might get to a place where we might call things decent, though immodest. And then we go up to being, the next step would be maybe like fully clothed, but not necessarily with modest clothes. And finally, somewhere, we come all the way up to a place where we relate to guys with decency. That's where we need to go. We need to find that spot where we relate to guys with decency. Entirely unfleshly. Entirely 100% removed from seduction. Trying to be sexy. If you want to be sexy, that's all right, but you do need to get married to do it, okay? That's your only option. You have none other. So dressing or undressing to be sexy is always sin. It is the flesh, and the flesh must die. When we crucify the flesh and live by the Spirit, we get rid of the flesh, we do not determine exactly at what point something is wrong. We get rid of the whole thing. Every last bit of trying to be appealing with your body to men has to go. The whole thing. It is all wrong. And I mean that. I mean that even with modest clothes. I do not care. If you are attracting attention to your body with clothes that are modest, it is still wrong. Because every last bit of that is the flesh. It is your flesh. It must die. It has absolutely no place in Christianity. It is sin. Now, here is another question. The world is dressing for this reason. The girls in the world are dressing to be competitive with the rest of the girls around them. They want first attention, most attention. They want to be the prettiest. They want guy attention. And many of them don't even really fully understand what they are looking for. But they like the feelings that being loved or looked at or whatever by the guys they like. They like the feelings that it gives, and that's why they pursue it. Now listen here. If the world is dressing to be sexy, then we can't wear the clothes that they are wearing. If that's the purpose for those clothes, then we can't wear those clothes. and be right, even if we aren't dressing for that reason. So we've already decided that it is absolutely wrong to dress to be sexy for guys. It's always, always, always wrong, even if you're wearing good clothes to do it. It's always wrong. But it is also always wrong, even if that isn't your motive, to wear clothes that accomplish that end. Okay? Now we are going to cover a second aspect here of clothes, because so far a lot of what we have talked about has been just being dressed. But sometimes being dressed isn't half good enough. Because the fact of the matter is, you can go to Walmart tonight if you would like to and buy yourself a can of spray paint and go home and take all your clothes off and spray yourself down from head to toe and you are naked. Okay, now there are many, many clothes out there that leave you almost that naked, though they cover every inch of your skin. All right, they are wrong. They are wrong not on the basis of the fact that you are undressed, but on the basis of the fact that you are sexually attractive to people who are looking at you. I have a personal question. If any of the guys were to come to church in a pair of long underwear like this, how would you girls feel about it? You'd be a little bit embarrassed, maybe? And what would you guys do about it? Would you run the guy out of the church? Tell him to go home and get dressed. All right. I don't know why you guys all think this is so funny, because it's not. Why can a guy not dress in thin, skin-tight clothes that show his body parts in public, and a girl can? Why can a guy not and a girl can? Did you ever wonder that question? Let me tell you why. It's a very simple answer. Because if a guy struts his body parts in front of the public, it will turn every girl off that sees him. That's why. It's a public retard. He will have people turning away from him everywhere he goes, laughing at him. And when a girl does exactly the same thing, it turns the guys on. Okay? That's the difference. When a guy sees a girl dressed in skin-tight clothes showing all her body parts off, he likes it. It's beautiful. When a girl sees a guy doing that, she doesn't like it. It is... So one of you girls describe it for me. Repulsive. Okay, why is it repulsive? Is it repulsive possibly because you feel like maybe he is suggesting something to you? Like it's way too familiar? All right, I do not think that we ought to have to settle the fact that skin-tight clothes are immodest. I don't think we ought to have to settle that fact. But we do need to settle it to some degree, because most Christian women do not know that fact, or deny it if they do know it. It is one of the things that I am going to use on my list of things that a girl should not wear, because they are seductive, sensual, and wrong. I think we'll get the board out here and girl on the screen here, and we're going to dress her. She's naked right now, but don't worry, it's okay. It's not a real girl. Aren't half filled. About 3 or 4 months ago, we had a men's meeting here at church on a Wednesday night, and I ran the meeting, and we asked the question all the way around the room, what's immodest to you? What is seductive? What talks, basically, is the idea. What's immodest? And I am not going to give away any of your secrets, guys. You don't need to worry about it. But I'm going to use the info that you shared with me. I have information written down here from 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 guys, and myself makes it 8. All right? We had a basic unanimous agreement from all the guys that are sitting in this room. We had a basic unanimous agreement from everybody about how they felt about a girl's body and what was immodest. All right? One of the things on our list is tight clothes, and virtually everybody had something to share about that. But as far as the actual body of a girl goes, I'm going to draw her knees on here. We need a neckline that is at least t-shirt height. A sleeve that comes down long enough to cover entirely the armpit. Okay? And we need down to the knees covered, just to get up to the level of respectable. Okay? Anything less clothed than that is putting your body in somebody's face. Now, that does not therefore mean that this is a standard of modesty, but this is what I am going to call an absolute minimum standard of modesty, that anybody who is dressed less than this standard is walking over the top of men. There were some specifics mentioned that went further than this, but they were the minority. There was a specific person who mentioned that he likes to see the calves covered. There was another person who said he preferred to see down to the elbows and to the ankles. That was his preference for modesty. When we're talking about modesty, I do not believe that we are talking about a situation where you need to be Amish to be modest. And let's go through that maybe just for a couple of minutes. Because if modesty is something important, and we are going to... why shouldn't we go as far as the Amish go? Why should we stop less than as far as we possibly can go? In some ways, that's a legitimate question to ask. If modesty is very important, and so on, why do we need to find the balance between right and wrong? Why don't we just head off the deep end and go all the way with it? Obviously, there is a very important reason why we should not do that. And it's not because you wouldn't be pretty if you did, okay? That is not the reason. I know that's the top reason in girls' minds, but that's not the real reason. The real and honest reason why we should not become foolish in our standards is because it would be a hindrance to the normal duties of life, to have too many clothes on. That would be one obvious issue. It would prevent you from living life in a normal fashion. And it is a biblical rule stated numerous times in the scripture that we obey the commands of God and we do not go to the right or the left. And there's a very good reason behind that, because if we say, well, let's say, okay, we're going to be Mennonites next week. Anybody want to join our church next week? We're going to be Mennonites. No internet. You've got 1 week to get rid of your internet. Now, the Mennonites have a good reason for saying that. Because do you know how much filth is on the internet? And do you know, I happen to know, that virtually every Christian young person that grew up in this church that used the internet got into that filth. But at the end of the day, the stand we have to take with the internet is you can't touch the filth. Got to be the stand. Now, personally, it's all right if you are struggling with the internet, if you're having trouble with it, if you can't quit wasting time on Facebook, and that's a serious issue, guys. I'm not just talking about getting into things that are morally wicked, but I'm talking about wasting time God gave you for a purpose. Okay, God told you to live for eternity. If you can't get yourself off Facebook and you sit on there for an hour a day, if you sit on Facebook for an hour a week, probably you are having some trouble with the internet. Okay, you need to do something for yourself to be in victory over your life. If that thing were to smash the computer and take it out to the garbage, then go for it and do it. But at the end of the day, you cannot come back to church and say, to be right, you have to do what I did. Okay? When we go, when we take what God said, and we take it too far to the right, and we set the standards higher, we are going to cause trouble every single time. We don't even necessarily know what all the trouble will be that we're going to cause, but we're going to cause trouble. So, I am going to go ahead and put up a second girl, and I'm going to show you something further about why I would take the stands of modesty that I take. Let's imagine, these lines are not here now, okay? This is just a sock. My pen ran out. Let's imagine that this length of a dress was modest, and that guys do not look down here at the calf of the leg and at the ankles and think seductive thoughts. It's not an in-your-face body part, and it doesn't cause any trouble. What if the leg all up through here is a trouble part? You tell me if you can, as a girl, wear a skirt all the time at that length and never show anything above the length your skirt is. Hey, you don't actually have to tell me, because I'll tell you, you can't. And if you have worn a skirt that length, I have seen higher than that. And so has every other person around you. All right? I personally probably haven't, because I just don't put my eyes in places like that. I may have once in a while, once in a blue moon with a girl here or there. But it's not the fact that you can't see higher, it's a fact of the matter. If somebody is not dressed decently, you don't inspect, you know? So that's okay, but we guys shouldn't necessarily have to have our wives walk ahead of us and tell us where not to look. But my wife has told me over and over again about girls in this church, not people sitting elsewhere, not heathen. Oh, we might have heathen here too. I'm not going to say anything about it. But my wife has told me all the time about girls who come to this church that she has seen all the way up their leg. Now, there's this very specific reason why you can see all the way up the leg when you've got a skirt that length. Because when you sit down, here's my knee. If I sit on a chair, where did I just put my legs? Below my knee. Right? I just put my legs below my knee when I sat down. Now, so some girls will take the standard that to be modest, the skirt needs to be able, when you're sitting, to come down over your knee. Well, the fact of the matter is, how big are your legs? I mean, I'm pretty skinny. Some girls even have twice as big legs as I have. What happens to that extra leg when you sit down? Where does this go? Further down? And I'm on a chair that is at the height of pretty much the shape of a body, okay? What happens when you're running around the house with your little kitties and you sit on one of their chairs? Now, what did I just put below my knees? Oh, you say, well, you have to know how to sit like a girl, and you've got to make sure you tuck your skirt up there and everything. And well, that would be nice if you did it. But the fact of the matter is, you don't. So if this is a very seductive part of a girl's body, and it shouldn't be exposed in public because it tells guys something, then we need to bring the skirt down to the length that in any position, any time, anywhere, we can't expose this area. Now, I can pretty much tell you where that spot is. It's going to be about halfway between the knee and the ankle. If you're wearing a skirt shorter than that, I am not going to call you a fool or anything, but you're probably going to be showing above your knee once in a while. Remember, the markings that we drew on here are what I call minimum standards of modesty to be decent. Okay? Minimum standards of modesty. That doesn't mean that if you're an awfully extra cute girl and you walk around in a skirt just to your knees and say, well, I'm not going to sit while I'm out in this skirt because I don't want boys to see anything. That doesn't mean that some young guy isn't going to look at your calves and go wild over you, okay? He might. Okay, so this is what I'm calling minimum standards of modesty. It's the standard that you can't deviate from without being seductive, all right? It does not mean that this is actually where the line is. I'm going to place the line for a skirt in about a halfway point between the knee and the ankle to be respectable. Now, if you're wearing pants, on the other hand, or shorts or something like that, if they come to the bottom of your knee, that might be a totally different issue at that point. Minimum, we're talking, though. I am not setting that standard. I'm not going to tell you that. I am not saying it's okay to only be dressed down to the knee. I think that is pushing the standard to an extreme. That's why I say it's the minimum. I mean, if you go any further unclothed than that, you're going into naughty clothes. Okay? I would not let my wife wear clothes only down to her knee. Now, of course, some guys take issue with pants at all and say pants are immodest altogether. That is actually not the truth. And most guys who say that because they were brought up under a Christian upbringing that taught them that pants are not modest. Okay. The fact of the matter is the bulk of pants that American women wear are not modest. That is the truth. But that does not mean there is no such thing as a pair of modest pants. All right? It just isn't true. There is such a thing as modest pants. Whether or not you should or shouldn't wear them is a completely different issue. Some people take issue with the subject on completely different, for a completely different reason, saying they're men's clothing and stuff like that. And I don't personally take that issue myself, but we're not going to deal with that subject tonight. We're just talking simply on the basis of what is modest. So, if you were to wear a skirt, a pair of pants, it was a modest pair of pants, and you were to only wear them down to the knees, I think you would hit the minimum standard. But if you're wearing a skirt, it's got to come down further than that. It has to come down further than that because you can't get away with wearing that kind of clothes without showing things off. Now, this is something that girls probably don't understand very well, but the armpits are a fairly hot spot on a girl's body. I believe most guys feel that way. Again, this is coming somewhat here as my opinion. I don't even remember what kind of input I got on that from the church. Except that most everybody believed that sleeveless shirts were immodest. The area of a girl's chest is the most seductive part of a girl's body, or the second most, depending on which guy you are. Okay? That area extends anywhere on the chest that you have a piece of skin that you can get your fingers on. Okay, that is hot skin. That skin is meant for a purpose. It allures guys to you. It makes them want you. It makes them want to touch you. And it makes them want a whole lot more. Okay, but it is meant for your husband. It is meant for marriage. It is not meant to play with. It is not a sex toy. All right, it belongs covered. In order to accomplish that, we have to have sleeves on our shirts. And if your sleeves are loose, like this, you need to have them pretty long. Halfway between the elbow and the shoulder may not even be long enough, depending on the shape of the sleeve. If your sleeves are tight, and now we talked against tight clothes a little bit earlier, okay? Tight clothes are different for different parts of the body. When we're talking about tight clothes, we're going to go from I should probably just quickly put up another. Here, we're going to talk about tight clothes probably somewhere in an area between those marks. It doesn't matter if your socks are skin tight, all right? Or your shoes. It does not matter if you wear gloves if they are skin tight. If your clothes are tight up here by near your neck, that doesn't matter. If your clothes are tight on your sleeves, that doesn't matter. All right, those body parts, even if some of them should be covered, are not. They're flat, and anything that is perfectly flat, no round to it, is there's nothing to show even when the clothes are tight. Let's put it that way. So, if for example, let's say you're wearing a double shirt, like you've got a cotton blouse on and a t-shirt under it. And the t-shirt may be your sleeves. Maybe the cotton blouse has real short sleeves. If the t-shirt sleeves are tight around your arm so that when you lift your arm, nobody can see up and across your chest, then the sleeves don't have to necessarily be quite as long as if your sleeve is a little bit looser. But what we have, what we are preventing is, we are preventing anybody from seeing anything beyond off your shoulder. Anything, any kind of clothes that allows a guy to see further in than that is immodest. Okay? This is basing now on things that we talked about here as a church and things that I have seen and heard around as the basic way that guys are attracted to a girl's body. The neckline. Now, listen here. This is an important point. Why do I say the minimum standard for modesty is a neckline up at about t-shirt level? Okay, well, it's very simple. If you were to wear a little bit shorter of a neckline, like say maybe just down a little bit from a t-shirt, guys don't have a real problem with those couple inches there. Okay, but the problem is you can't wear a shirt like that without showing down your body. Now, remember guys, girls, it doesn't matter how you think you appear in public. It's a matter of what we actually see with our eyes of what you're actually showing. Okay? All you need is a shirt with, well, let's explain cotton shirts once. Generally speaking, a cotton shirt that buttons all the way up has buttons at a specific basic set rate of about how distant they are apart. If you unbutton the top button of a shirt that buttons all the way up, you see it's just a stinking inch here below my t-shirt line if I leave it all the way open. Okay, that is potentially acceptable for a top button to be unbuttoned on a shirt that buttons all the way up. But the moment you buy a cotton shirt that does not have a top button, invariably the top button that it does have, when it doesn't have a button all the way up at the top, is way lower than what the button would be as a second button on a shirt that buttons up all the way, that is too low. That all the shirts, and I have shopped every nice shopping store, I mean, me and Nikki have been to malls from coast to coast. We have been to premium outlets trying to find clothes for her because it's hard to buy clothes for her. We have looked and looked and looked and looked and looked and looked at shirts, and that has been the basic we have found. Everywhere you go, there is not a shirt that skips the top button, that the second button is high enough. But on the other hand, those shirts may be fine if you're wearing a double layer with a t-shirt underneath. Because this little area here doesn't really matter if your t-shirt is tight. But back to cotton shirts, if you're wearing a cotton shirt that does not have a top button, the second button is built in for it to be the top button, you absolutely cannot live a normal life in that shirt without showing everybody down your chest all the time. Okay? I have seen it hundreds of times myself and girls all over the world. We don't need it in the church. All right? Girls probably have no clue how often they show off things they had no intention of showing off, but they do it. In the world, it's okay because anybody's got a second piece of clothes on that's as much as a swimsuit underneath your shirt anyway. And since that is fine, then it's okay if you show that off, right? Okay, that's the world standards. That's why it's okay to wear a low neckline in the world, because it doesn't matter if you show anything off down your chest because you're clothed down there also. But that is not Bible standards. Now, I'm going to take a step further and go even further with my stupidity here, because I'm going to tell you something. If a girl were to come dressed in a sleeveless shirt, that is more modest than wearing a shirt that is wide open to be able to see in. And the reason why is not because of how much you show, but it's the fact that you're giving people peeks. Now, this brings us to a completely new subject. Something that almost every guy in this church said when we had the modesty talk was that slits in skirts are immodest even if they're only 3 inches. And let's imagine now that the modesty issue, we're going to wear our skirts down here. So let's make a 3-inch slit and wear our skirt down here. Every guy virtually in the church when we talked about this said that is immodest. Because it allows a flap to flap that shows skin. And it doesn't matter what the skin is, we're playing peekaboo now. Okay? It's immodest. Those slits are put there because they are seductive. That is why those clothes are created. There is no reason for a slit in a skirt other than the toy that it creates. That is also true of any other thing that you wear. If you are wearing something that allows a guy to see into an area that is clothed, even if it is an area that, generally speaking, might not be considered seriously immodest, it becomes immodest at that moment because it's the thought process. It's how guys think. Girls, you don't have to like this, but you have to understand it, all right? Right? It's just a fact. It is how guys think. If you want to just take your shirt off and throw it on the floor before you head out the door and walk the sidewalks, that is more modest than walking around pulling it up, showing your belly off. All right? That's more modest if you just took the shirt and threw it away. Because what's going to happen when a guy sees a girl walking down the street that's mostly naked? The bulk of guys relate to that fairly properly. You just kind of ignore it, in spite of the fact that you're peeking a little bit as she walks by. You pretty much ignore it. But when a girl comes walking down the street dressed, you're free. There's no guards up. There's nothing there. And all of a sudden she shows you something that you weren't expecting to see. And it's instant fire. That is how guys think. If any of you guys disagree with anything I say, go ahead and speak up. Tell them it's not. So we've got, not only are we going to set minimum standards at about halfway between the knee and the ankle for a skirt and at least short sleeves and neckline up about at a t-shirt line. Those are where we're going to set what I'm calling minimum standards of modesty. And some of those standards are just simply set because if you have anything less than that, you can see things up and down and in and out. Okay, but we also need to discuss the subject of the tightness of the clothes. Because a girl might come to church in a pair of jeans and a t-shirt, and she'd be clothed absolutely, exactly, according to these standards, plus a little bit. Now, I take a very, very hard line on the subject of t-shirts. They are immodest, period. The guys in the church agree with me. T-shirts, polos, sweaters. And that would also apply to button-up shirts that are tight. There's going to be exceptions to this rule for some girls. Be careful with exceptions. One, the reason that I'm going to say that t-shirts are not modest is the same reason you guys don't want me coming next Sunday in this pair of pants. All right? This is bedroom clothes. It is not public clothes. T-shirts are immodest for the same reason. You have a shape as a girl under your shirt. When you wear a t-shirt, you wear a shirt that conforms to that shape and pushes it right out in front of everybody who is looking at you. Now, let's say you can wear a t-shirt that doesn't do that. If you can wear a t-shirt that does not do that, you may be an exception. And you may be a very small built girl potentially. And it may just be that you're wearing a super baggy t-shirt. There could be a couple of reasons why you could wear a t-shirt that doesn't actually do that. And if that's the case, I'm not going to come screaming at you if you do. But remember, there's another reason for why you wear what you wear also. And the only reason you wear the clothes you wear isn't for standards of modesty only. It's also because of other people, because you have a testimony that you're giving. And if you, as a 75-year-old lady who has no shape left on her body, dress in such a way as that the 14-year-old girls are going to follow you, and they can't do it modestly, you have become a source of misleadership in your church. That's very important for you to make sure that you don't do that. I believe, personally, that a t-shirt that's not excessively tight would fall in what I would place in a standard, not the minimum standard of modesty, but in a standard that is respectable. You don't look at that girl as a whore. You don't look at her as somebody who is out to get you, okay? It's in a standard that guys relate to as decent, but it's not in a standard that you do not have your body in somebody's face. If you're going to wear soft material that is not like a cotton button-up shirt, if you're going to wear something of that nature, if it's thick, like a sweatshirt, or a super thick sweater that is not skin tight, I personally believe that those very well fall into the category of modesty. Be careful with that, because as a general rule, girls tend to wear their clothes fitting, okay, and they can't handle the idea of not wearing clothes that fit because it makes them look fat. If you're going to wear your clothes as tight as you can get away with because you don't want to feel fat, you better wear something that is extra, not clingy, and not soft, and not thin. Okay? There was a person in the church that specifically listed that a girl showing her collarbones was very sexy. There is a lot of necklines on clothes that are very wide. Okay, they're not very low, but they're very wide. You have no reason to show that part of your body. Just put some clothes on. There's absolutely no reason to show that off. None. The only reason that girls dress down is to show something more to guys. That's the only reason. Or it's built on that kind of feeling. You don't need to do that. The wedding dresses that most Christian girls in the United States of America are wearing today are pathetically wicked. Okay? That is the fact. We as Christians do not need to look at what the world is doing and copy them when we do things we want to do. I don't know why girls feel like they need to get half naked to get married. They can wait till after the wedding. But we have got a ton of pressure coming down from what we will call what's generally accepted, what people generally do. We've got all that pressure coming down on us. Everybody looks at that and says, you know, why isn't this right? Everybody around me is doing it. Well, the fact of the matter is most of the people around you aren't saved. That's number one. And the second problem with that is most of the saved people who are in evangelical churches today are in tune with their Bible, almost not it. They are not a standard. They are breaking every standard God has. The same thing is very true about pants. There are guys who cannot keep their eyes off a girl's rear. Okay, if you are going to wear a pair of pants, you are going to do it baggy, or you are going to do it immodest. Those are your two choices. That's all you've got. There is no middle ground. You're going to wear pants baggy, or you're going to wear them immodest. Those are your only choices. I'm trying to decide here what else is left, but I'm almost certain that there is another session's worth, and we're already, again, running extra late here. And there's some other things that I really think we should cover. So I think that we'll just stop there tonight. And I want you guys to remember what I said at the beginning. The conclusions that I am drawing for how a girl should be dressed are not based on a verse of Scripture that says this, 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 and that. You notice I did not even have my Bible on the pulpit tonight. I did not open it once. These conclusions are based on things that I know that God says. They are based on proper relationships between girls and boys. They are based on the fact that God is the one who set clothes up. And they are based on the way guys relate to girls and the way they respond to a girl's body. If any of the things that I'm basing my conclusions on were false, I could have come to a wrong conclusion. Okay? That is the truth. And I am not one to ram my opinions down people's throats. But the basic idea of what I put on the board here, with a neckline all the way up to t-shirt level, short sleeves, and a skirt that comes somewhere reasonably below the knees, between the knees and the ankles, is so generally accepted as decent and proper in most people who have any opinions on the subject of modesty, that this is something that I expect you girls in this church to do, even if you don't understand it. I expect that out of you. I expect that much decency and dress out of you. Again, I may not have the authority to make you do that, but the rest of your brothers here, the guys in this church, are expecting that of you also. It's what we are looking at as what we would call being decent in public. And if any of you here deviate from the standards that I gave on this list because you think I was mistaken in how I came to my conclusions, you should probably present your case. I would be happy to hear it. All right. Otherwise, you probably either don't have enough information as a girl to base your own decisions on some of this stuff, or otherwise, you simply don't like it because your flesh is fighting with the spirit. And if that's the case, the flesh needs to die, the spirit needs to win, and you just need to dress right. If you girls in this church do not dress according to these standards, hopefully, as we get Jackie and Sharon to repent of their sin of being so silent in this church, they will come after you.